It's too bad.
Yeah, I kind of think of it as this idea of like being attached to my feelings, being caught up in the moment as opposed to sort of being able to step back and look at it but still feel it. That's kind of what you're saying. But
yeah, I definitely still feel it.
My question was, well, I had a comment also about, I didn't, UCSF is currently doing a study on mindfulness-based relapse prevention. It just started about 2 weeks ago, right. So while you're in town, I don't know if you know about it or not. So my question is, you know, I've meditated off and on for a few years, and, you know, as other people have said, you know, just kind of sitting with your thoughts, especially when you're, you know, not in a, you know, when you're in a mood or whatever. So I guess my question is, do you have any tips or suggestions around how to kind of habituate this behavior to make it incorporate a little more, because I still struggle with it. Some days I can sit for 40 minutes and it's no problem. Some days I can sit for like a minute and it's like, this is not going to happen today, I got to get out of here. So
what specifically do you find difficult? Can you just say a bit more about what it is you find difficult?
I mean, my mind is just going and I just can't bring it back, you know. It's just, I mean, I've got so much on my mind. It's just like, you know, work or, you know, bills or, you know, dating or, you know, whatever. It's just stuff that comes up, you know.
Yes. There. My hunch, and I may be wrong, but it would be very common, this, is that somewhere there's an expectation that it should be easy, that your mind should settle down. Maybe not, but actually, if your mind's going all over the place, your mind's going all over the place. I mean, I sometimes do that. My favourite thing is I like planning. If my mind can do anything, it'll plan. So I can, you know, plan lists of lists and things like that. And in a way, that sort of can be unpleasant, but actually, well, that's just what my mind's doing. And sometimes, for me, I just recognise that actually I haven't given enough time to sit and think. You know, need some thinking time.
Yeah, I'm in recovery, and I do the steps, actually, Jeff's my sponsor, so. And, you know, one of the things that, I mean, I tried Buddhism just strictly before for recovery, and it didn't really work. So now I, you know, sort of use both. The Buddhist steps, and the reason that somebody had suggested to me at one point is like, well, steps should be something to do. There's like, you do this, and you do this, and you do this, and you do this. And that kind of worked for me, you know, and actually having incorporated the two together, you know, not just sort of taking it verbatim, but trying to make sense of it for myself. So, but the idea of having stuff to do, you know, is helpful, as opposed to just, you know, sitting and kind of hoping something happens or. I mean, I've got
meditation, so. Yeah. So just a couple of more things on there. So again, hoping something to happen suggests an expectation. But every time we have an expectation, we're setting suffering up for ourselves. So we need to watch out for that. And that's so easy to do that in all aspects of life, not just in meditation. The second thing is, it will be painful sometimes. That is just the way it is, because life is painful sometimes. And you've got a choice. You can either face it and, in a sense, deal with it, or you can avoid it and it will deal with you. And actually what you're doing in meditation is you're having your experience, and it's all yours, it's no one else's, no one else can take it away from you, it is your experience. And that is going to be painful sometimes. So, you know, and maybe sometimes you say, well, look, I've just done it up to there, I'm going to, you know, go off and do something else now for a while, and, you know, sure, but I think if you're doing that, it's good to do that as a conscious choice rather than an unconscious fleeing from experience, which of course is what we so easily do. Again, it's kind of interesting. With Kisa Gotami, the Buddha didn't bring the baby back to life. He didn't make a rosy ending. He showed her the truth. And the truth is sometimes uncomfortable.